There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Back again with the Mighty Manfred on your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Sam Allen, guitarist in the New York City punk and rock band Wildlife. Their second album for Wicked Cool Records, Year of the Snake, is out now. It's their fourth overall, and it features our recent coolest song in the world, Sacre Bleu. Let's hear some of that, and then I'll be back with Sam on the line for your Coolest Conversations podcast in Little Steven's Underground Garage. With the Mighty Manfred, and on the line with me now and geared up for today's coolest conversations is Sam Allen, guitarist in the New York City area band Wildlife. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Manfred? How's everything in LA?
Man, I am hunkered and bunkered, and I know that still a scary time in New York City. Whereabouts do you live in the area?
Well, I'm in Brooklyn. Well, I lived in Brooklyn, but now I'm in Wappingers Falls, New York, a little bit upstate. Fled over the weekend, and I'm at my parents' place with the cats.
Yeah, so we're literally an escape from New York City.
Yes, literally. Things were just getting a little bit too weird in the city for me, like walking down the street, you know, just people just kind of running away from you, giving you looks if you're too close. Just kind of had to get out of there.
And that's not just because you look like you're in a punk rock band anymore.
Well, that probably, you know, has something to do with it, but I don't know.
Man, have any of your friends or family suffered from the virus?
Very lucky that no one I know has suffered from the virus yet. You know, hopefully it'll stay that way. For one that I know, it's been very safe and trying to stay away from people.
When was the last time you got to hang out with any of the guys in the band?
That's a good question. I think we had band practice maybe the week before kind of this whole thing went down. I think the last time I actually hung out with people was my birthday at work, which was in March, and then after that, just nobody besides like my roommates and stuff.
So what kind of work were you doing?
Well, I was teaching guitar. I was teaching guitar at a school. Still teaching online through Zoom, so I've been teaching a lot of Zoom lessons. Oh. If anybody out there wants to learn a Wildlife solo or something like that, maybe Cowboy Song by Thin Lizzy, you know. Call me up. We could zoom me up. We could do something or something out.
That sounds good. Now, you mentioned doing the Zoom stuff. I know some bands have tried to do stuff online. Have you guys done anything or thinking about trying to?
I would love to try to figure that out. Definitely want to try to do something. It's tough, though. You know, not a tech guy, but it's tough to make it work playing with other people.
Right.
Have you tried anything like that?
No. Well, because right now we actually don't have a permanent guitar player. The Fleshhammer passed away last year, so we recorded a couple of songs with Stephen as a guitar player, and there are a couple of other guys that we had lined up over the course of the year that want to record with us, but we don't actually have a regular guitarist. So,
well, if you need someone to fill in, you just zoom me up. Yeah.
Well, all right. That's I don't know about the touring right now. That's kind
of... Yeah, I know. We had a whole May tour set up, which is not looking like it's going to happen, obviously.
Right. I had spoken with Dave Feldman, your singer, and Spencer Alexander, the bass player, and I wanted to ask you about the origin story. I want to triangulate between you three guys. You were at art school when the band formed?
Yeah, Spencer and I went to SUNY Purchase. It was a good art school. It's in, it's just right outside the city in Westchester, New York. So I went for music, he went for art. We met there, we played in a few bands. We hit off right from the start.
Oh, and so
SUNY
then
school, but really good art department. Hung out with a lot of dancers. Good times. Dave, I've known since grade school. Since like maybe met in third, fourth grade, we started really playing together. In the sixth grade, the eighth grade, we had this band called the Cokes, which was great. You know, so that was when I kind of realized like, oh, being a band is really just the only thing I want to do for the rest of my life. So, yeah, we kind of had that realization together.
So, I think Spencer had said that you know, he met you there, and that Dave was already coming in and hanging out with you, and you guys were writing songs together.
Yeah, we'd always kind of been writing songs together under the name Wildlife. That name really started in high school. So we had our high school band, and then we had to kind of break the news to the drummer, the rhythm guitar player, the bassist, that we're going to try to keep going on in college, you know, with some new people that we met.
Yeah.
And Spencer was the bass player. We had a few other drummers and other guitar players, but then we decided that we're just going to go be a one guitar player band, make things a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that all formed in college.
And so did you say you met Dave when you were like in sixth grade?
Yeah, well, we met when we were probably even younger, third, fourth grade. Started playing together in sixth grade. I think the first thing that we did, I was playing guitar, he was playing drums, something like that. I remember playing Anarchy in the UK, like that. You know, the classics, Blitzkrieg Bop.
That, I have to say, man, this is pretty wild that you guys have known each other so long and that you had a bond over, you know, the classics. I just can't imagine that a lot of kids your age at that time was digging all that stuff. Was there much music at your home growing up?
Yeah, I think, you know, my parents had some cool records to throw on. My dad used to be a drummer. He drummed in a punk band. This was, you know, forever ago. The Nukes. I think they covered some Sex Pistols songs and Ramones songs. So I had some of those. I think they gave me a Ramones album pretty young, and that kind of changed things for me.
When did you start playing guitar?
I think it was probably 9 or 10. 9 or 10, got my first guitar. Didn't take lessons for a while, and then started taking lessons and really got into it.
So when they gave you that Ramones album, was that the moment shortly after you decided you wanted to play guitar, or why did you want to play guitar?
Yeah, I mean, play those songs and really, really to be in a band. Just being a band just seemed like the coolest thing to me. It seemed like I can't not do this. I was just so drawn to it. Seeing the Ramones, bands like that, The Clash, you know, it's the classics.
So the new album, let's talk about that, Year of the Snake. That's, I think, your fourth full length, your second for Wicked Cool. And when I spoke with Spencer a few weeks back, I did a little Facebook snooping or stalking beforehand, and I looked up the birthdays of him and Dave and saw they're born the same year, and then I looked up to see what that year was, and it's the Year of the Snake. So you're also born in the Year of the Snake, is that right?
Yes, that is true. That is correct.
So what was your reaction when you guys all figured out that you're like the Year of the Snake and not the Year of, say, the Rat?
Yeah, I think Year of the Snake's a pretty cool one to be. I would definitely take that over the Rat or the Pig. You're the Pig. Yeah, Year of the Dragon always seemed like a cool one to be. I think that's 88, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, Snake's pretty cool, too.
Well, by the way, I am also the Year of the Snake.
Oh, wow. I knew when we met. There was some connection there. Now I know.
Yeah. Man, what came first, the title of the album or the song?
That's a good question. Probably the song, but I think, you know, we might have named it Year of the Snake even if it hadn't been for the song, you know. It just seemed that imagery with the yin-yang and all that stuff seemed cool to us. I mean, the album has kind of, you know, the hardest stuff we've ever done and also maybe the softest stuff we've ever done. And I think we do both those things kind of the best we've ever done on it. So I think that yin-yang really kind of symbolized a lot of the songs on the album.
So what?
Know, but not like peace sign, you know,
yeah.
Too kind of out there.
So what about the album? What made this the hardest album?
Well, we had a song, it closes with the song, The Falcon.
Yeah.
Was kind of the, it's interesting story behind that. We were in Atlanta at the time, and David separated, and he was like walking back to the hotel, and he kind of came up with the entire lyrics to that and kind of brought it to us when we were at the hotel. And I think he just started singing it, just started going into it. And at first, we're like, it's kind of ridiculous. It's not something that we're going to ever really do. It's kind of really heavy, almost kind of hair metal-y.
Yeah.
But, and it's written about like a Ford Falcon we saw on the way there. And then we're in Atlanta, and the football team's the Falcons.
Right.
And just the birds soaring. But then when we embraced kind of the ridiculousness of it, it became like the most fun song to play. Can't wait to play it live.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Have you had a chance to play any of these tunes out?
We've played a few. We've played Kiss and Tell.
Yeah.
Is out. Played Soccer Blue, Deathbed. But, you know, some of the deeper cuts, just like, I don't know when it will be, but cannot wait to play those, especially The Falcon.
Well, let's talk about this coolest song of the week. It's Soccer Blue.
Correctly. Your high school French is really
absolutely cool. Well, I wanted to ask, did you or Dave take French in high school?
We did not, but we took Spanish together. Yeah, shout out to Miss Flores. I remember being in Spanish class with Dave.
Have you toured overseas? Have you played in France yet?
Oh no, that would be a dream.
But have you played in Canada?
We played in Canada. We played in Montreal, which has
Right. Yeah, because the lyrics mention Paris and Montreal. So have you ever played in Cajun country in Louisiana?
We have not.
Well, that's probably easier to get down there than over to France, maybe.
Yeah. when this is over, we're gonna be all over. We're gonna be like a virus spreading through your town.
So tell me, what's the origin story for Soccer Bleu? How did you guys come up with that?
Well, I think Dave started with the lyrics there. He'll know more about the lyrics side, but we just wanted like a fast punk one, kind of it's your classic fast wildlife song with some with some cool riffs in the chorus. Can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't. So is that the usual way? Dave comes to you with some lyrics, and then you figure out the music end of it?
I mean, we do that. Some songs, I kind of write all the music, and then I'll give it to him. I think Neon Nightmare was like that.
Uh-huh.
So it's definitely always a collaboration. He'll show me something, and then like I'll come up with something for it. I'll show him. But then it's just a collaborative process from there. Someone will start it, but then we kind of rerun with the thing. You know, it's been great working with him. You know, we've kind of been working together so long that we kind of have another musical language. You know, like Spencer and Stevie will say that you guys just kind of have the same brain wavelength sometimes. Very rarely actually say words when we're talking about writing a song.
So like, wow.
Boom, boom, chick here, and then like the, you know, break there. You know, we kind of know at this point what each other are.
So when he came to you with the lyrics, did he just hand you the lyrics or did he sing you the melody?
Trying to remember that specific song. I mean, we've written a lot of songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. He probably had the melody yet.
Well, I guess
together with the guitar and try to flesh it out.
Well, the reason I'm asking is you said, you know, he brought in the lyrics and you said, oh yeah, you know, this one works as a punk rock wildlife tune, and kind of fell into place pretty quick. I was wondering if Lenny approached you and he said, oh, here are the lyrics and we'll make this one a wildlife archetype or wildlife song, kind of a punk rock tune. And or he just gave you the lyrics and he said, yeah, this is what it feels like to me, and this is how I'll address the music.
Yeah, I think it was kind of written as like a fast punk song.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of remember we were on a plane. Oh, it's kind of coming back to me now a little bit. You might have kind of like hummed it on the plane. Yeah, I don't know where we were going, Matt. It was, but I remember on a plane seeing Soccer Blue, kind of reading it. It was really cool. It was kind of funny.
Yeah. So
I think it's good to have a little bit of humor in there.
Oh, man. Yeah, hairy lips included. So when and where did you record the new album? Because did you do it in pieces, bits and pieces over time, or was it all at once?
We started in May, last May.
Yeah.
Recorded at Renegade Studios, Little Steven Studios in West Village there in the city. So we started in May. We had a little bit of like a week and a half then, and then we went back a few more times, kind of in the summer and then in the fall. And yeah, we recorded with Jeff Stanoff, who's a amazing engineer, super smart, great guy. And it was awesome. It was awesome just kind of waking up, getting on the L train, heading to the studio every day. It was like the most fun thing ever. Loved every second of it.
Before you started this album, you had done a single with Jeff or not? I can't recall.
Yeah, he mixed Out of the Block, the Come On Christine, and he's the single with him. And yeah, it just worked. It worked great. Great studio that has all sorts of different things in it. You know, if you want an organ, they had the organ there, piano, clock and steel. All sorts of things that we would not really normally have on our album, but since it was there, it sounded cool.
You know, I don't...
The tubular bells was, the coolest thing that we put on an album so far.
Well, what did you put that? What song is that on?
Tubular Bells is on the Falcon in the chorus.
You
can kind of barely hear it, but you miss it. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
It just happened to be around for a Christmas song that Steven was doing for some Christmas movie.
Well, you also mentioned the organ. That's going to, I want to ask you about that. Keeping Up with CT in a moment's got a cool organ in there. But first, you also mentioned you worked with Jeff on the single Come On Christine, but that's not on the new album. Why not?
Well, I mean, it's already out there. We never really thought about it. The B-side to Come On Christine these days, that's another great song. Can't say so myself. I mean, I don't know. I think the album already has the Come On Christine song, maybe, and a These Days song.
Yeah.
So I think it just wasn't necessary. Maybe someday we'll have an album of just B-sides and rarities, so maybe they could be on that album.
Well, all right, then. That's I'll take that as a good answer, then. Yeah, for your Odds and Sods project in the future. The other track that we can that we have time to play is Keeping Up with CT, and I really like the song. And I was wondering, is that based on a real person, a real character that you guys know?
Yeah, that's based on Chuck Tail from Atlanta. He's a good friend of ours. He plays for a band called Rambler, RMBLR. He was singer of the Heart Attacks for a long time, Dino's Boys, and he's just kind of the funniest, craziest person that you'll ever meet. And every time hanging out with him is just so insane, so funny, but he's also like a total sweetheart too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We all love him. And so that song's about trying to keep up with CT, which is Chase.
So I love the addition of the keyboards, the organ, and that one. Who's playing the organ on it?
That'll be me. I tried to figure out how to play the organ for that one. That was a lot of fun. Made that song in the key of C, so it wouldn't be too hard for me. That's no black keys for that one. And yeah, we all thought we would just try something kind of different for that. Spencer was playing the Beatles bass for that, so it gave us another little sound, different sounds. We had this green Gretsch there, which was probably Steven's, which we called the Avocado. To start, we just tried something different with that one. Dave's got some killer harmonies on that one, too.
Yeah.
So
if I heard you right there, you said you were playing the organ, right?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of the Al Cooper there. right? You know, the Like a Rolling Stone thing, you know, Al Kooper comes in to play guitar and he sees Bloomfield in there. It's like, nah, I'll just sit over here on the organ. And then it's the organ that makes it, you know, makes it.
It really does. That song would not be the same. It's not trying to put it on the same plane as Like a Rolling Stone. That's a pretty good song.
Well, I mean, we're not going to knock Dylan today. I mean, you know, I mean, he's got a couple of cool things for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no Wildlife. You know what I mean? He's got his own thing, and he's good at that. And you guys, as just a straight up together rock and roll band, you have few equals.
Sam. I mean, we're not going to put 17 verses in our song.
No. Well, you're smarter than that. There's no reason to do that.
No.
For him, it's okay.
Give the people what they want.
Exactly. Give the people what they want. And I'm hoping you guys get to get out on the road later towards the end of the year when all this stuff is not so crazy.
It feels like another universe to go to a show and play with my friends, and just cannot wait. I miss it so much.
When this is all done, what's the first thing that you want to do? I mean, hang out with friends or go to a restaurant or play, go bowling. I mean, what's like the... in fact, let me rephrase that. Not thinking about doing music stuff, because obviously you want to do that. But what's the first non-music related thing, like going to a movie theater or a bowling alley, your favorite restaurant? What is it?
Oh, man. I mean, all I can think of is just playing with the band. So I don't know. I don't have a good answer. Playing a show is just all I can think about right now.
Well, I think that is a very good answer, because that just reveals how focused you are on your art and your craft. Hey, man, thanks again for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Manfred, thank you so much. All the boys say hi. We all love you, and stay safe and all that good stuff.
I really appreciate that, Sam. All you guys are sweethearts, and I look forward to seeing you guys again, seeing you play, try and play with you guys in the future sometime.
That's going to be something to look forward to for sure.
Well, right now, let's see about keeping up with CT off their new album, Year of the Snake. It's Wildlife and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Keeping up with CT just now here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The track is from Wildlife and off their brand new album, Year of the Snake, out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to their guitar player, Sam Allen, for yakking it up with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. And be sure and join me next week when we'll check in with Grammy Award-winning producer and engineer, Jeff Sanoff. He'll tell us about a brand new Jesse Malin single that he recorded and was executive producer on. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.